I just feel like we are surrounded in this world by bullshit.
So how can you know what's real and what's not? Science versus. That's how. We answer questions like, does anti-aging skincare actually work? And what is your true personality type? And to answer these questions, we don't use opinions. We dive into the scientific studies, talk to the experts, and put it in a podcast that I know you are going to love. Listen to Science Versus on Spotify.
Welcome to the Shutdown Fullcast, which only took like 10 minutes to get started because my computer was possessed. Because that's typical on the greatest internet college football podcast. I'm Spencer Hall, broadcasting for some reason in the middle of his living room. Do I hear other people?
I like to imagine this is how you drive a car, that you get the keys and you're just like mashing them against the door. You're like, God damn, oh, stupid car. Can't get in again. Just every time. Nothing.
At least I live somewhere where I can have a car.
Wow, with the heat off the top rope. Damn.
I mean, you know, I could have voluntarily chosen to live in, you know, a cube. But no, I chose to live in an expensive, wasteful house with an expensive, wasteful car. Like a real American, Ryan. So take that. This 10-gallon hat is filled with ice cream.
And gasoline, because you need it for your very expensive car.
It is. It's God. It seems.
Once a day, I go out and dump my hat into my car. Just dump the gasoline right on top of it.
It's delicious.
Bathe my car in gas.
I wash my car with it, just to be sure.
It's like how when you roast a turkey or whatever, the juices on the side, you know, you dump them back on top of it.
I mean, water is to people as gas is to cars, and we wash ourselves in water, so.
Mm-hmm.
My car is 78% gas.
That's also why at the gas station, it's in a hose form. Like, that's basically so you can spray your car down.
Mm-hmm. Washing my car with gas to own the limbs. That's what I'm doing.
It's great on the interior too. It's good for the upholstery.
It cleans it, gives it a sheen.
It does that. It does that. Definitely.
This is how a Georgia fan is gonna get away with burning the Rambling Wreck, right? I was just trying to wash it with gasoline. It's America's water.
You heard him. It's a wreck. It was totaled anyway. You can't sue.
It's true. It's right there in the name. It'd be false advertising if it was drivable or had value, Your Honor.
That's a nuisance. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have to go. I have to go put a TV on the back of my Hummer and show people the Rose Bowl.
and then drive it around with a advertise here, like that isn't the most horrifying and dangerous thing ever.
Yeah, it could be worse.
You could be washing the Hummer in gasoline.
It could be on the front.
It could be strapped to the windshield, right?
It could be on the front.
The Hummer's barreling down on you with, come to Ed Voile's Honda for a car that's not this Hummer.
Oh, shit, I better do it.
If you're even for a second unclear what we're talking about, remember there was a Georgia fan who had a yellow H2, I believe, with a full flat screen TV on the back driving around Atlanta showing the Rose Bowl between Georgia and Oklahoma, which we're duty bound to say as SEC honks that, yeah, Georgia won that. They did. Then they went to the national playoff title game, whatever, the college football playoff title game. And how'd that go for them?
Well, SEC won that one too.
Yep. They led most of it. They led a lot of it. They have the lead. They were winning.
That's true.
They were ahead or tied at the start of every play in the game.
Champions in most of regulation.
Sure, and time is a human construct. So really, they lost to humans and not to the Lord.
That is true. Gentlemen, this is a slow week again because we're stuck here in the spring. And there's really not a lot going on. Like, seriously, if you go and look at, like, oh, man, what's coming down the college football wire? Nothing.
You can sum it up with this. UCF and Bama's ADs are talking women's NIT shit at each other.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how desperate this is, right? Because this is, you know, the season of Nance, the portion of the calendar that belongs to Jim Nance, right? You have the NFL playoffs, which are followed up by March Madness, which is followed up by the Masters. At no point is Jim Nance any more powerful than it is this year, peaking at the Masters, where, like, the great receiver, like the Cerebro to his Professor X, he has magnified and made 20 times more powerful than any other Caucasian in his caucasity by just soaking up all of that tradition.
I hope there's another event he calls, like, that we don't, like, it's like, oh, he does the French Adult Film Awards. Wow. Did not know that. Yeah. He does the week before what the Masters. Would be
if you had to make up a fictional name for the French Adult Film Awards, what would it be?
The Parapluie.
Alternatively, when is the point in the sports calendar when Jim Nance's powers are at their lowest?
Let's see. It would have to be, probably...
NBA Finals.
That's pretty low.
It's got to be pretty far away from the Masters, and that's only a couple months ago.
No. You have to. You're thinking of it the wrong way. That's so far until the next Masters.
Oh, I get
because
it, yeah. Okay.
You know. Yep. We haven't even planned the dinner yet.
What
my God.
What it is he blows his load at the Masters, and then he starts back at zero and has to build toward the next Masters.
He is like the Phoenix. Once he reaches peak powers, he bursts into flame, and then must be reborn. So immediately after the Masters, he's taken out on a stretcher, right? with the mayonnaise IV, right?
Oh.
They have to put him in some sort of stasis for a while,
rubbing
right?
Rubbing the pimento paddles against his chest.
Apply it directly to the shirt. His chest rejects it.
Never touch his skin. Can't touch a straight man's skin. He'll freak out.
Fill the back to tank with just for men.
Exactly. The custom Oxfords are part of his bio now. They're just part of his biome. You just have to put him in there.
He's more Joseph A. Bank than man.
like he would be caught dead in that mismeasured trash, Ryan.
Ryan, that's clothing you and I can afford. Please, come on.
Please.
Sorry.
Good God, have some respect for the man. They'll arrest you if you step into the Masters clubhouse.
He does wear Joseph A. Bank to the Parapluies, though, just to be clear.
Yeah, that's, well, you know, it's a more casual event. That would be great if, like, Nance did disappear for 3 months and we find him on the other side of the world calling an entire... You're like, man, who's calling this Sri Lanka-West Indies cricket match? Dear God!
It'd be like something real wild. It'd be like Sevens Rugby or something, but you're like, this is so soothing for some reason.
So
wait,
soothing.
Damn it. Nance, you did it again.
He's calling...
And eye gouging unlike any other.
Yeah, he's calling Tonga South Africa? What? Yeah, it's just on the other side of the world with like a slightly adopted Aussie accent, right? Because he's now just like, that's his like healing mode. He has to go to the other side of the world. And then he comes back and slowly grows into strength until he reaches his like March Madness Masters peak again, right? And in the meantime, I don't know, he's just chilling out at like men's clubs. I don't know who goes to men's clubs anymore, right? Like the men's club of Chicago. Nance is just there accepting awards. That's all he does. Just goes around, gets a rubber chicken, gets an award, gets a tailored shirt, and goes, you know, I like guys who do things the right way. Holy shit! It's amazing!
The ghost of Curly Lambeau punched me in the solar plexus the other day.
Why don't we talk about old guys? Whole room full of guys. Rumpf, rumpf. Yes, absolutely. It's a great thing. So our list of topics, they're rather scanty. Fortunately, Ryan has decided on a solution for that. Ryan, would you tell them about our advanced hacking technology?
So two off seasons ago, we employed the use of randomizer technology, TM, to decide which teams we were going to preview when. We decided to expand on randomizer technology, and use it for deep off-season studies, and we foolishly turned that technology over to you, our listeners, we let you give us one, if you wanted, non-sports, non-football thing to talk about, and one football thing to talk about. And we let the computer do its thing. We do have veto power, so some of these we're not going to talk about. The one, somebody wants to know about emo bands. Spencer, do you have anything to say about emo bands?
No.
Jason, do you have anything to say about emo bands?
I like Kanye's emo album.
There we go. That's the segment on emo bands. We're sorry, but this same person, at Eric Seeds on Twitter, also wants us to talk about Skip Holtz succeeding Nick Saban at Alabama. We can talk. Absolutely. The randomizer says we should talk about it, so we will, unless we don't want to.
No, I'm going to pick that one up. Let's pick. I mean, I'm going to pick that up. You put it down, Eric. We're going to pick it up. You want to talk about Skip Holtz as Nick Saban's successor? Oh, I'm all too happy to do that. I actually think kind of an okay idea. Not the best idea, but for a successor, what you want is a flunky. You want somebody who's going to be replaceable. You want somebody who's been fired before. You want somebody who really doesn't have a whole lot to lose in this. Because typically when somebody is replacing a legend and they hire somebody who's, I don't know, a first-time person or somebody who's coming in from outside of the usual circle of things, people tend to get a little uneasy. They tend to go, hey, you're clearly not that guy. If you hire Skip Holtz, we know what the deal is, right? Has he been fired before? Yeah, buddy. He's been fired big time. A couple of times. Has he turned programs around theoretically so that it's, I don't know, is it maybe possible that he could do a decent job for a couple of years? Sure. Although, would you like to make a list of the coaches who could do a pretty good job for like 2 years after Nick Saban retires? Just with that talent and just kind of hitting autopilot? That's a pretty long list. So, yeah, I don't know. This is it's a terrible idea, but it's a workable terrible idea. Because when you get rid of him, it's no loss. You knew it was going to happen.
Let's compare them side by side. Nick Saban succeeded at an underachieving Louisiana program before he took the Bama job. Skip Holtz, same thing. Check, check. Nick Saban, deep Big Ten roots. Skip Holtz. Coached at UConn, basically the same thing. Like, Nick Saban, no meaningful NFL success. Skip Holtz, never coached in the NFL at all. In some ways, better. Arguably, wasn't tempted. Skip Holtz has never been tempted by the siren song of the NFL. Nick Saban, he's a weaker man. So I think really, in some weird way, you're leveling up.
Let's also keep in mind that both of these coaches, Saban and Holtz, are sons of men named Lou. So technically, Nick Saban's dad was Nicholas Lou Saban. And technically, Nick Saban's name is Nicholas Lou Saban Jr. The other Lou Saban is the Lou Saban who was a coach is considered a second cousin, according to the wiki. But both sons of men named Lou. I stand by my statement.
That's your debut novel, a Cormac McCarthy-esque ramble through the spine of the Appalachians as told through football, starvation, and post-apocalyptic visions. That would be Sons of Men Named Lou by Jason Kirk. Available. Is that a Penguin? Did you get in with Hardcore?
With Lou anywhere in their name.
Sons of Lunarchy. There it is.
I'm learning things tonight. I did not know that his middle name was also Lou.
That's what Wiki says, and it's never wrong.
And Skip Holtz's first name is Lou.
And his middle name is Skip.
No, we've talked about this. His middle name is Leo because he could have been LL Holtz.
LL Holtz. the most uncomfortable brand of men's clothing available on the market today. LL Holtz.
The only rapper Jim Nance likes. LL Holtz.
The only rapper.
LL Warm Holtz.
Oh, God. Worm Holtz would be an amazing name.
LL Worm Holtz.
Worm Holtz. You know, old Worm Holtz. It's good. He'd be like the strength and conditioning coach that you hired before that actually knew what strength and conditioning was, right? Like strength and conditioning tips of the 1950s, right? Rub a poultice on it. What's the poultice made of? chewing tobacco, plaster, newspaper. Just put it right there on the bullet wound. It'll pull it right out.
Imagine how good right. Coach Wormhole would be at recruiting. It's like, oh, there's this 5-star in California, but that's pretty far from... Not for Coach Wormhole. He'll just bend space-time, and he'll be there in 3 seconds. It'll freak
the
kid out.
Oh, he committed to USC. In one reality, he did. Not this one.
Here comes Coach Wormhole and Matthew McConaughey.
There's a possibility, though, that you mess up. You come back and the recruit is 48 years old, right? No!
Oh, yeah, you gotta figure it out.
Yeah, yeah, that happens at Bama. You know, every time when Bama has some linebacker, we're like, man, he looks like he has 3 kids. That's the Wormhole.
Did we figure this out? Is this
we
how
figured
Saban's
it
doing
out.
It?
That's how he's doing it. Skip Holtz will do it better. I'm sorry.
It's the original A'shaun Robinson. You're like, man, that guy looks like somebody I knew in Philly in 1981.
That was a 9-year-old that they took through the wormhole.
Oh,
he just stayed,
and you know what?
He just stayed in there a little too long.
Nick Saban's going back in time to meet people who made the wrong decisions about their athletic career, right? Like in some past in 1982, A'shaun Robinson is like about to go, you know, I love football, but I really want to serve my country and join the army. Nick Saban's like, you need to rethink that, son. Oh my God.
Quantum toss sweep. That's what we call it.
You can come with me to the year 2013. I'm going to make amazing things happen for you.
Will I serve my country? In a way.
You're a magical man. Is that why you're short? Yes. All magical men are short.
In the future, everyone is my size. So you'll look even bigger.
You can take everyone's food.
All right. I want to try something. Spencer, I want you to pick a college football media member based in the Southeast of your choice. I want you to pick that person in your head right now. Okay.
Okay. Okay.
Now, I'm going to give you this scenario and you're going to tell me your reaction to it as that media member. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Let's say it's July.
Mm-hmm.
Emergency press conference at the University of Alabama. Nick sure. Saban announces he's stepping down for, you know, family reasons, whatever, the Bob Stoops thing. And Skip Holtz is getting the job. Go.
Oh, hello. This is Marty Smith at ESPN, and I'm on this story like a spider monkey. Just on it. That'd be Marty Smith wouldn't even be at the podium asking questions, right? He would like be in the pocket. He would be on the back, right? Like, tell us a little more, Skip. Just get there. What'd you do? Crawled the vents of the building and just rappelled down onto his back.
I've interspaced myself into Skip Holtz's body.
He would have interspaced into it, right? Like, I gotta tell you, for all the concerned fans here, the man's gallbladder is like cleaner than a Roman bath. It's amazing. So yeah, that would be who it would be, Marty Smith, and he would be actually inside Skip Holtz giving updates on his health and conditions.
Checking his plaque, like heart, like, teeth,
right. Like
all
Ant-Man.
Yes, exactly like Ant-Man. Like,
first thing I noticed about this guy, he's got stones. I mean, kidney stones. Those are going to hurt. He's going to have to pass. That's right, Bama fans. He's going to have to pass.
Ooh, passing. That sounds uncomfortable. Indeed, it does.
Yeah, passing won't win you a championship. Oh, wait. But yeah, that would be my guess as to how they would react to a Skip Holtz. By the way, like, you know, the way that, I don't know if you've seen The Death of Stalin. It's like a movie coming out about, you know, when Stalin finally kicked it and how terrifying that was for everybody. At least, like, you know, inside the Soviet Union. I think that's how people would love to report on, like, Nick Saban's health in Alabama, if you could, right? How's his teeth? His teeth are flawless. They're powerful. They're ready to tear into victory yet again. Like, that's how people would follow. Like, that's why Marty Smith could go inner space if he wanted to on Skip Holtz.
I'm trying to remember. All right. Do you remember who all of the coaches were the last time Alabama, in the SEC that is, the last time Alabama did not have Nick Saban as the head coach? So this would have been the 2006 regular season.
Yes.
How many do you think you can do off the dome here? I bet you can get at least 11.
Okay. So what am I answering again? The coaches that they faced?
Yeah, just how many coaches were... Who were the coaches in the SEC in 2006, the last time that there was a non-Nick Saban in the Alabama coach's chair?
Okay, and I get first shot at it, not Jason?
Yeah. Go ahead and ping pong it. Yep.
Okay. Yeah, we'll ping pong it just to see if Jason. Jason, I'll go first. Urban Meyer.
Correct.
Right?
Yep.
Phil Fulmer.
Correct.
Man, that feels so long ago. So long
Why?
Ago.
He's still in charge of Tennessee.
Yeah. Let's see. 2006. Steve Spurrier.
Correct.
Mark Richt.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. 2006. Rich Brooks.
Yes. Very good.
Les Miles.
Mm-hmm. Jason's picking off the easy fruit. I respect it.
No. He's getting the good ones. That's fine. Let's see. Houston Dale Nutt.
Where, though? Gonna need the where.
Man, this is so close to like the home of Las Chronicas, but I believe in 2006 he's still at Arkansas, correct?
That is correct.
All right.
Ed Ogeron.
Yeah, I was gonna say we just filled in another one, right?
Yep.
Are we in the Sylvester Croom phase at Mississippi State there?
Sylvester Croom goes 3-9 this year at Mississippi State.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Go ahead, Jason.
So I believe Vanderbilt still had a program at the time. Was this OG Bobby Johnson?
This was Bobby Johnson.
Mm-hmm. Tommy Tuberville?
Tommy Tuberville. I believe y'all have named all... Yeah, I think that's all of them. With the exception of Alabama's head coach, Mike Shula, but who coached the bowl game? Bum, bum, bum!
What for Mike? Oh, that would be Joe Kynes.
Yep, there you go.
Joe Thank Kynes, you. The father of the inside trout himself. Joe Kynes!
Lost the Independence Bowl. Let's go to the next randomizer topic. I'm going to go with this one. This is from Calvin.
We need a randomizer sound effect.
We'll add it all in post. Speaking of, we're going to get back to Press Your Luck, but we'll talk about that probably on another podcast. What's the dumbest thing your kids did this past week?
Ooh. Well, that's Jason's kid is pretty smart. She doesn't do a lot of dumb things. So your answer is going to suck because she's smart and she's a girl.
So I want to explore that. What is so like accepting that Jason's daughter is great? What's the dumbest thing she did in recent memory?
I'm not being a smartass by delaying. I'm just girls are just like they're like already human.
Meanwhile, Spencer's on page 12 listing all this.
Like she's already a human, and boys are they're wild animals until they're about 97.
and then they just get tired.
Yeah, I mean,
okay.
I mean, it's really stupid stuff. Like I had to remind her to feed her rabbit. You know what I mean? It's like stupid shit like that.
Yeah, that's pretty minor. Yeah, I'm excused because I have an 18-month-old, and at that age, the problem.
She pooped the tub, didn't she?
She has not pooped the tub in the last week. If you make me stretch it beyond that, yes, she pooped in the tub. Okay.
Yeah, no, that's fine. That's pretty stupid. Yeah.
That said, she's the problem with real little kids is that the quote unquote dumb things they do are actually very smart. They're just incredibly dangerous. It's the things where you're like, mm-hmm. you learned how to turn on the oven by yourself. That's very like. You're showing problem solving and initiative, and you're also going to burn your hand off. So dumb is not the right thing there. It's more just like, what's the closest they came to death?
So looking at this list of things I have compiled that I forgot happened over the past week, because I write down the things that my kids say and I write down the things that they do that I find amusing. All too often, these are things that are dumb or just ill-advised or ignorant. You know, like kids don't know. You have to teach them to be civilized, particularly boys. They don't understand these things. Let's see. At 3 a.m., my son woke up and said, "Dad, what? My toe hurts." Woke me up at I woke up at 3 a.m. and said, my toe hurts. And I was like, well, did you hurt it? He goes, no, it just hurts. And I asked him in the morning, hey, does your toe still hurt? And he goes, Dad, what are you talking about? It's like, you woke me up last night and said your toe hurts. He's like, I didn't do that. You're nuts.
Your children are waging psychological war on you, and they're totally winning.
Oh, yeah. And then for the younger one, that's easier. When we were going into a bathroom where he said, wisely, with no prompting whatsoever, oh, I gotta go to the bathroom! Because I guess it just hit him all at once. Sponsored by Chipotle. He just had to go, so we ran to the bathroom, and he dropped his pants, which is funny enough. I'm like, you don't have to do that yet, running across the bathroom, and tried to back his butt up to a urinal to poop in it. And I had to move real fast to stop this from happening.
Was any part of you like, let's let this play out?
No. Not a single part of me, because I didn't want this to I know you don't have boys. You don't want this to happen again. And Casey's like, you know, that was refreshing. I want to do that again at the next bathroom.
That was easier. I prefer that method.
He'd do it too. That's the thing. He's not, you know, he's my child. He's like, I really don't care how you did it. This is working for me, even if it's dumb.
I'm outdoorsy now. That's what that means.
I'm social. Some of you go behind a door to do this, but I like to meet new people.
I'm not ashamed.
Yeah. Some of you are afraid to be primates.
I like to be aware of my surroundings. I don't like to give my enemy a wall to hide behind.
I don't turn my back to the door. I'm smart.
Also, all that water's there. You get the flush. Boom. Self-cleaning oven right there. It's just all. So, yeah, I wanted to prevent that from happening and prevent the employee who has to be told, because I have been on that end of the transaction as a service employee at one point in my life. I wanted to be the one. I don't want to be the one who is the cause of, hey, listen. Never believe this, but someone pooped in one of the urinals and, you know, you got to clean it up. I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to spread that evil forward because, you know, I worked in a movie theater. People get very creative. There's a lot of license being taken with the way that things are used at a movie theater. And I didn't want to be the cause of that in any respect. So we immediately trundled him into a bathroom where he used it the way the queen and king intended good, fine English plumbing to be used.
Hell yes. Roll Tide.
Yeah, I think it's important that everyone work in a service, retail, whatever kind of job at some point and have to clean a public bathroom once in your life, because just once, you'll have so much respect for people who work actual jobs that anytime you go into any facility whatsoever, you treat it with the utmost respect. Like, you know, in the movies where there's a scene where somebody's like, how did you shit on the roof, on the ceiling? That's real. I've seen that. I've had to deal with that. So, like, if you haven't, you need to go get an actual job just for one day, you know, and learn what it's like out here. And then, you know, if everyone does that, the world will be a better place. If everyone has to clean shit off the ceiling just once.
And you worked at Publix, where...
Yeah, I worked at the nice grocery store. So you imagine what those folks at fucking Ingles are dealing with.
Yeah. I mean, I was at Publix 2 weeks ago or so, and I had to take, again, another child to the bathroom who suddenly had to go, because they always have to go at places where I'm not real sure if the bathroom is clean, right? Their timing is impeccable. If you go past, like, the nice shiny, this is a rule with children, if you go past the really nice shiny QT or the racetrack, right, and the one that's got thousands of pumps and lights and 500 shiny urinals for, you know, for one for every man who wants to saddle in, right,
you can shit in them, we have so many.
That's right, we wouldn't even find it for days. That's how long, like, once we finish cleaning them, we got to go back and start. It's like the Golden Gate Bridge, right? So they'll pass that, right? They're like, no, I don't have to go. And then if you find, like Merle's fossilized Starvin' Marvin with the bathroom. When you open the door, you immediately smell ammonia. And why, like, subsidized American, like why corn subsidies are wrong, right? Like, if you open it up and you're like, oh, American agriculture policy is horrible, right? Like, that kind of bathroom.
The bathroom where the, not only is the bathroom outside, it's behind, it's in an alley. The key to get in, they hand you a wooden block, and it's like not entirely.
It's got a
dry.
Metal door.
It's like a it's like a Tetris block you don't want. It's like, oh, it's got, that one.
It's a block that it's not metal. It's organic. Like, someone wiped their ass and then touched this wooden object that you're now holding.
It might have been metal once, but it's not anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's usually the bathroom that has my favorite combination, which is the men's bathroom with the freestanding urinal and toilet 2 inches away. So presumably, if you and your friend both had an emergency, you could go in and have the worst, most awkward 2 minutes of your life so that you could pee right by your friend's head, who is presumably shitting painfully next to you.
So you can shit in the urinal and puke in the toilet.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. Well, that's isn't that the, like, isn't that the rowboat setting, right? Like, that's got to be in front of you.
Yeah, we call that the crashing of the Hindenburg. So,
so my kid picks this one, right? In this case, it is the Publix bathroom that I'm not sure is clean at the not so nice Publix. So we go in, and I hear somebody going through something horrible and emotionally scarring, and you're like a stall, two stalls away. And at one point, while my kid's going, "What is wrong with that man?" And you're like, "Please don't say this out loud. I don't want to have this experience. You need to stop asking this question right now. I will tell you anything you want to hear about. Do you want to talk about airplanes? Do you want to talk about how mommy and daddy killed a guy once? What? Like, just anything to get this child's mind off of what's happening, right?" And the guy goes, "Ah," which is just awful. Like, that's bad, because the kid's not going to turn that down, all right? The kid's like, "Oh, is he in trouble?"
And I'm
like,
Dad, Baloo needs help.
Just no, just stop. You're like, "I've seen this episode of Paw Patrol. We need to call the crew." Like, yeah. You're just like, "No, please, God, just no. Here, I'll tell you. Do you want a toy? I'll buy you anything you want. Do you want a gun? You're 8. Let's get you a gun. That'd be great. Let's get you a firearm. Wouldn't that be exciting? Dad, I think he's in pain." And you're just like, "I don't want this entire experience to be happening right now." And I think I've got him almost out of there and done. And we're about to, like, wash hands and get out of there. And I hear the guy in the stall go, "I just wish it would end." And he's like, "What is he? What?" And I'm just, "God, just please, no." Just at that point, you just pick the child up bodily and run out of there before, I don't know, there's a dialogue between the door, between this man who's going through the 7th level of, like, Dante's Inferno, passing through his gastrointestinal system, and my very curious child who wants to understand everything that's happening, right?
"Dad, we gotta get in there."
We've talked about kids and pooping for like 10 minutes. This is amazing.
Just be like, "Son, we're gonna go home and watch Alien," and then you're gonna learn that no, we don't go in there.
"Dad, you cause a diversion. I'll crawl under the door."
You missed a teachable moment opportunity here. Because when that's happening and you're just like, "Just don't talk about it. No, please don't acknowledge," just look him dead in the eye and be like, "He didn't listen to his mother. His mother told him to clean up his toys, and he didn't." And that's,
well, yeah, but then if I'd said that in the room, he'd be like, "You don't know my mother.
My room is spotless.
She's a lovely woman. Who's your mama?" Like, kids would do that, right? They would. Like, if Jason comes out of the lake on Friday the 13th and says, "This is all my mother's fault," a kid would be like, "Tell me about it. I want to hear about that. That'd be great."
Before we stop talking about children and feces, I do want to ask if you two have ever encountered the subset of human male who is a father or is about to be a father who says the following: "I don't change diapers."
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Who are these assholes? Who are these unrepentant scumbags?
That's
where do they come from?
Weaklings.
There's this breed of masculinity weaklings where it's based around being as delicate as you can. You know, like, like it's manly to be like, I can't handle the stink. Like if you're a tough guy, you're like, nah, that doesn't bother me. Break it on. Do your worst, kid. You know, I don't care. Eat green beans all day. I don't care.
Emergency tracheotomy. That's women's work.
Something gross and nasty. Not me. I only deal with lilacs and periwinkles.
I don't know. That's that brand of being a dude where it involves doing as little cool as possible, like doing as few good things as possible, right? Like there's a brand of dude who's like, when you're like, oh yeah, man, I don't know, I go to the gym. The gym. Yeah, I don't know who does that.
This is the Han Solo who doesn't come back to the Death Star. He's like, yeah, I got paid.
Pew. Imagine how different that movie would be. Well, that's the end of the show. Final 20 minutes is just Han paying debts.
He just flies back to Jabba, pays him off, turns on TV. Ooh, parapluies are on. I love these.
Turns on TV and sees, oh, plants are blowing up left and right. Huh. At least this one isn't.
That'd be awesome. Then the next two movies are just Han making money. Making money, and like, that's it. It's just the next, like that's it. There's no challenge whatsoever. You're just like, man, I didn't know if Han was going to pull off that lucrative swindle, but he did.
He goes legit. He becomes a courier, and so
you know who ends up best in all this? Lando. Lando's still just like city administrator, doing fine. Got his Lobot friend. They're just hanging out. Nobody's getting dismembered. Nobody's crashing the party. Oh man, Lando's life is so much better.
I always imagine Lobot as like the Diddy of his era, right? Like he's just standing behind Lando, like, yeah. Let's hear it. Come on. Let me feel the beat. Presses a couple of buttons in his ear.
Murder somebody. Shine did it.
Are we going to tackle another random? We can decide to accept or deny the topic that the randomizer has given us.
Yeah, the randomizer is not perfect.
No. So I was going to go through, let's see, man buns and why they are garbage. I kind of want to like half pick this one up and just say I don't have no problem with any of your hairstyles. I have definite opinions about facial hair. However, if the man bun is what makes you work and it gets like hair out of your eyes and that's your thing, and you have long, beautiful hair, which, you know, if you have long, beautiful hair out there, men who are listening to this, treasure it, enjoy it. You know, you might not have it forever. And if you don't, and if you do have it forever, by all means, keep it long. There's a certain point where, you know, it's going to really start working globally, but individually is really what you want. Are you happy with it? Are you happy with your man bun? Can you put on, like, in football terms, really the only drawback to a man bun is whether your helmet can fit on, right? That's it. Otherwise, I have no problem with it.
Yeah, I think the world is plenty full of opinions on man buns. I don't need to have one.
They're not white dudes with dreads. That's the important thing. Every man, think of it that way and your perspective will totally change. Every man you see with a man bun is a white dude who doesn't have dreads. And therefore, even if he hasn't taken a path you like, he's taken a better path than he could have. So let's celebrate that success. He didn't shit in the urinal.
There's only one white man who should ever have dreads. And that is Troy University's own Bear Woods, the linebacker for Troy, who had a big old set of dreadlocks and is, I believe, now playing in the CFL. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's with the Argonauts. And is, by the way, a fine player with the Argonauts. He was an all-star.
He's the 29th Avenger.
And yes, he's the 29th. He kind of looks like the 29th Avenger, actually.
Welcome to the Avengers.
He kind of looks like Sabretooth if Sabretooth went through like a serious like stoner
period. The Canadian
period.
Avengers. Like there's all the sub Avengers, the West Coast Avengers, like Canada's Avengers. It's like two guys,
right? And they take turns because you know you're Avenger this week. I got the kids. I'll be Avenger next week. Cool, great,
dude. That's Alpha Flight. Alpha Flight were the Canadian Avengers. I can't believe I know that, but yeah,
idiot.
Just taking up time that I could have devoted to like I don't know, something.
Well, no, I'm just frustrated because Jason and I were doing a thing because we knew Godfrey was going to listen and be screaming about it, but you had to step in and be all comics nerdy.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sure
Spencer still got something wrong there. Somewhere in those 10 words of something Godfrey can correct.
Godfrey will tweet at us about it. I'm not worried.
Folks, if you're out there, tweet at 38 Godfrey to tell him that
actually do this. Tweet at 38 Godfrey, ask him what his favorite part of Black Panther was.
Yeah, he loved it. He has really strong opinions about it too.
Yeah. Ask him why it's DC's best movie yet.
How about everyone out there tweet fake Black Panther spoilers at Godfrey?
Yes.
Make them pretty outrageous and, you know, nothing that would have anything to do with actual spoilers. What we're trying to say is our biggest nerd hasn't seen Black Panther yet because he's been busy in the wilderness of Mississippi. But just go ahead and tweet some just really stupid fake spoilers. Don't even tell him we sent you. Just, you know, we'll know it's working when he comes in and into, you know, the company chat. Like, why is everyone doing
God damn it! Everybody's tweeting at me about Black Panther!
And we'll say, I don't know why they would do that to you.
Oh, man. I guess it was MGO Blog. I guess they got you, man.
I think we can... We've processed man buns, and I feel pretty secure and happy about our answers with that. The next one to accept or reject would be how Iowa football is a metaphor for the 2018 USA political climate. That's from Calvin. Calvin, I'm going to say now on this. Just now. Nah.
No, here we go. Here we go. Here's
I'm going to punt.
Yeah, yeah. That's how we make it Iowa. Punt.
Punt.
All right. Then let's do this one. Northwestern is apparently, I haven't confirmed that this is true, advertising that they have the best home schedule in the country. And this is an excuse for when they go like 3-9 or something. That's somebody else's prediction, not mine. I already got bit very badly by Northwestern predictions last year. Home schedule for the Northwestern Wildcats starts with Duke, followed by Akron, followed by Michigan. Then you've got Nebraska, Wisconsin, Notre Dame, Illinois.
So that's four teams that would count as draws, I guess. That's pretty good.
It's not bad. It could be worse.
I mean, the stadium would be full four times. Not of Northwestern fans, but it'll be full four times.
No. And of the road games, I guess the Michigan State one or maybe Iowa are the only other ones that you might want to rather have as home games. Yeah, sure, man. I don't think... all right. We can still... How much are... You guys keep talking. I'm going to find out how much Northwestern season tickets are going to cost me.
All right. In light of moving on and discussing that, I do want...
$315?
Okay, we're back.
Are you kidding? I mean, those are for good seats. If I want, like, nosebleeds... God, I'm still paying $185 for the end zone? You got to be shitting me. No
so how
chance.
Many is, so is that 30 and change per ticket?
Yes.
Okay, but you do that and then you sell one to an Ohio State fan when they come through and then a Notre Dame fan when they come. Well, they're already there, but you can recoup that and see that Akron game for free.
Isn't this premised on the idea that it will be hard for those people to get Northwestern tickets?
Yeah, it'll be really hard because imagine you're an Ohio State fan trying to get a Northwestern game. You can't find a ticket because Ohio State fans already bought them all.
They're already season ticket holders.
That is a thing, Georgia Tech. That is an actual problem. Georgia fans take the stadium over to such a degree that... They have to try and find ways to keep Georgia fans from buying Georgia Tech season tickets.
How on earth do they do that?
I forget exactly what it is, but
math test.
Yeah, that's what simple it is. Math it's test. A CAPTCHA. It's a I'm not a robot CAPTCHA.
Solve this extremely simple trigonometry problem. Yeah, I'm out.
It's a CAPTCHA where you have to click I am a robot.
Damn, it's more expensive to buy Rutgers season tickets. Fuck, man.
that's a harsh life.
And I, having been to Rutgers Stadium, nope. I do like, all right, I will say this for Rutgers, though. On their ticket site, they have, you know, a menu bar across the top, which is like, buy tickets and blah, blah, blah. And then for ticket and parking info, the number one pull down, ticket transfer how to. I appreciate that Rutgers is like, yep, you accidentally bought these and you need to get rid of them. How? We're here to help. We promise.
There should be something like where, you know, if you give it to a child for their first experience, you know, maybe you get like a tax rebate on that in Jersey. Yeah, I'm just thinking that's probably actionable as like an act of like at least child neglect to take a child to a Rutgers game.
It's suspicious. You're definitely going to get a call from a cops if like a 7-year-old comes home and is like, Mom, a stranger gave me Rutgers tickets. Be like, where are you?
I think the only people you should
give.
You should give Rutgers tickets to like sociologists, you know, so they can study like, what is this that's happening here? Let me observe. There are like 300 people in this building and 40 of them are trying to kill each other on the field. Let me just study all this.
We're all fairly decently like traveled at this point in terms of watching games in different places, right? So
you more so than me for sure, but
yeah, maybe I don't know. We'll see. But you know, if what's the worst environment that you've watched a game in at the college level? Because I know like NFL's got some very bad user experiences, but what's the worst place that you've watched a game where you go average out for weather and whether the team sucked or was good? Because when the team sucks, the environment's not exactly the best, right? So average that out and just go, this is like the most lackluster that I've been to.
This probably isn't fair, but like some of the USF games that I went to when I was younger, when they play at Raymond James, the Buck Stadium, like it feels so, it definitely feels like, hey, Dad said we could borrow the garage. Dad said we can have band practice in the basement. As long as we don't plug in the amps.
That's dismal. That's bad. You know, because that's hard to say because sometimes you go to places and like, if the team stinks or if they're going through a hard time or there was just a bad loss. Like I went to Boise and Boise's fine, but I went to the game after they lost to Nevada.
Oh.
Right? The Colin Kaepernick Nevada team that beat them and screwed up their line at, I don't know, an outside shot at a national title or an undefeated season. Yeah, I went to the week after that, and those were some very sad, cold people. Like, very sad, very cold. I would like to go back because it was a fine experience, but I got some really, like, there's just kind of a vibe of, like, disappointment. So I would like to go back because that really wasn't completely ideal. I know which one is the most overrated.
Oh, God. Well,
and I think you do too. if we're being super honest about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's Notre Dame. It's a deeply overrated stadium experience.
Interesting. I that's not where I thought you were gonna go. My nipples are hard, obviously. But I thought you were gonna say Tennessee, and I thought you were trying to get killed.
No, I mean when that's live. Tennessee's a you know, actual good solid game experience. I'm not
okay.
It can be Tennessee, but it's still a good stadium experience, right? Like it's loud, it's everything that you want it to be, right? But it's Notre Dame is just, I don't know, like there's so much grumpy old Midwesternness involved there, you know? Like I went to Michigan and Michigan was like good. Michigan was also kind of horrified because it was that Penn State game where everyone just forgot how to play offense. Like they forgot simple things like, do we use our hands? Like that kind of bad, you know, like negative offense kind of Big Ten game as opposed to the way a negative offense SEC game works. Yeah, they just weren't happy, but that was still a pretty good game experience when you sort it out. Notre Dame, I don't know. It's just kind of a confusing experience. You know, they sit, they don't really yell. There's not a lot of energy. The student section rules. Everyone else, y'all need to get to work.
All right, let me ask you this then. So our coworker Charlotte Wilder recent devotee of college football, went to college at, I think, University of Maine. They beat Mississippi State. Am I getting that right?
Yes, they did. They beat Mississippi State in the year that Sylvester Croom lost his job.
She asked a number of weeks back, like, if she were to go to one game this season, what game should she pick? And I know I'm putting you on the spot a little here because you got to know, like, who's playing who, where, and whatever. But if you were just to say, go to this stadium in this general time frame for this general, like, where are you sending somebody like Charlotte to say, here is your first, here is the green circle hill on the college football ski slope? Where are we starting?
Well, I have to make sure that it's all right and together, but I believe, that would be Alabama at LSU.
That's where we're starting?
Yeah, no, I mean, that's the, what, you want one game to go to, right?
Yeah, but Ryan said starting it off gentle.
Gentle?
What? Well, I mean, that's double blacked. I'm not saying you have to say, like, okay, go to a UConn game, have fun. But, like, Bama, LSU, all right, sure.
I mean,
God damn.
No, man, I'm not in for this beginner stuff, you know? What's the worst that's going to happen?
What if we're talking about, like, a 5-loss LSU by that point? Do you know how dangerous this scenario you're sending her into is? Even worse, what if they're undefeated?
I feel like Bama LSU was the answer for, like, 3 or 4 or 5 years there. But at this point, like, LSU fans, aren't they just approaching that with, like, deep, deep dread? And, I mean, what is the... Like, yeah, it'll be loud. It'll be
on
insane and all that.
On Thursday, yeah. On Thursday, that's the feeling,
by
right?
Saturday is all that's fixed.
By Saturday, it's like, "Poo, we got you, sons of bitches." Okay. That's my guess. Like, if you want to just, you know, I don't know about this easing in thing, you know?
Well, just like, what's a more, like, you've never done this before, we want to give you a full taste of the experience, but maybe less of, like, a stranger will curse you out and offer you an unidentifiable meat product.
Just go with alternate universe LSU. Just go with Wisconsin. Right?
That's actually a very good choice.
Like, it's the Wisconsin where they don't eat you.
Yeah. Let's you want to ease you in? We'll give this. Why don't you do one that very few people actually get to do, right, out of region? Why don't opening weekend, this happens this year, Auburn plays at Washington. There! That's Pac-12. It's not going to rough you up too bad. It's not going to be too hot. It's a beautiful setting, beautiful stadium. Washington's really good. So, and Auburn, depending on the week, could be really good, right? I don't know how they transport across country. I don't know the food rules on an Auburn.
Isn't that game here?
Is it here? Did they come all the way here?
Yeah, I think so.
I always forget. If we're doing neutral site there, oh, don't do that then.
Yeah.
Dang
it. Skip that.
Yeah. I don't know. Go to a Pac-12 game. Just start off gentle. They're not going to go to, like, an Oregon game.
Go to go to a Wazoo game.
No.
What are you doing?
Go to the Palouse.
Don't do that. We were joking. Don't actually go to, like, Arizona State either, because I don't know. Herm Edwards is there. There's no telling what that game's going to do.
I'm going to laugh my ass off when they win 9 games this year. We're all just shit!
You know, I want them to. I mean, I want what will probably happen is that I just see that as, like, maybe Herm comes out on fire, right? Like, oh man, Herm won 10 games! And then next year it's like, Herm won 2 games! Wow!
If Herm wins 10 games, then he's right back in the league.
Pac-12 South champion. We did a business! Look, everybody!
The question here is this. It'll be our final one tonight. It'll be the 6-week squat everyday program that caused that guy to not be able to sleep or be a person. Oh, my friends. Let me introduce you to one of the internet's most hilarious fitness articles of all time. That would be on T Nation by a guy named Matthew Bertrand in 2013. And I will just share with you a couple of things. This is a squatting program that he was told to do by somebody. And let me tell you, in pursuit of a 600-pound squat, here's everything that he had to do for this program. I will happily link this and share you because I'm guaranteed like 30% of you will find this funny. That's it. The 30% of you who find this funny will cry laughing like I read the first time because I'm a terrible human. And I like people who put themselves to extremes that are, I don't know. We'll just, you can judge for yourself when I start to do this. You're going to squat every single day doing this plan, except Sunday. I don't know why you bother to do that and then skip Sunday. That's not, it's not going to help you. It's not going to help you recover. It's not like, that's just, that's a day of reflection for the pain you're in. Right. Also, you're not allowed to stretch, do any sort of warm up besides squatting. You can't foam roll either. You can't do anything to do this. I quote, my entire left leg went into a spasm and I could hardly straighten it. So I limped when I walked. Both knees were sore to the touch. If you blew on them, I'd flinch. Even sleeping was a nightmare. I couldn't put my arms in any position that was comfortable. Looking back, I have no idea why I stuck with the program. I would put the bar on my back and let it push me down far enough to get depth. That's it. My leg never stopped hurting. I just kept going. That's, yeah. Oh, keep going. This is amazing. It's my favorite. It's my favorite ever. Because this man is an idiot. At night, at the time, I was doing physical labor. So I wound up taking naps on customers' couches when they weren't home. So this dude is like breaking and entering basically to do his job. Just wake home. You just get home and find this guy asleep on your couch. And you're like, what the fuck, dude? Like Comcast guy or whatever he was doing. And he'd look up and be like,
oh my God, his leg's twitching like crazy. Don't touch him.
Can you bleed through your skin? Because it looks like you're bleeding through your skin. Then looking at a flight of stairs would give me anxiety attacks. Then here's everything that he said, okay? Which was in order to do this well, because he details it and it's absolutely insane. The Sunday routine is listed as this: lie in bed all day, preferably in fetal position. That's great. That's great. Week six is called do whatever you want, but just keep squatting. The tips, though, are really where this goes from horrifying to the sublime. Okay. The tips for getting through this program. Stay away from anyone who's been trained to be a chiropractor, massage therapist, ART practitioner, anything of the sort. I had a physiotherapist tell me all the ways I could injure myself. I just ignored her and was fine. Okay, buddy. Stay away from negative people.
Okay. That's how we got to the moon. People said, oh, that rocket's going to blow up. We said, shut up. We're America.
I only told positive people what I was doing. I only shared my news with idiots. Be prepared to be in pain all day, every day. Great.
Go Gators!
Be prepared to realize that pain is protection, and if you stay tight, you'll be fine. 99% of injuries come from someone going loose. What? What?
Share to Facebook.
Be prepared to see pain in a whole new light. Anyway, yeah, I'll share that. I don't think you should do this. I would not do it.
I like the part where he says his posture got better and he theorizes that like he turned his muscles into a full body cast and they sort of like fixed his back. It's very bad science.
What I wasn't expecting was the radical change in my posture. At 27, I was now an inch taller than I was at 24. My shoulders were pinned back. My neck was straight. What I think happened was that my muscles basically turned into a, quote, cast, unquote, and my spine straightened itself out. Yeah, like rigor mortis.
Alternatively,
like you were dead.
Alternatively, your soul is trying to rip itself from your body. Get me the fuck out of here.
Yeah, he also swears that every other lift went up, despite the fact that he was just squatting, which I kind of believe because the body was probably like, oh God, something different, thank God. Yeah, so that's how much I want to talk about that because, yeah, Matthew Bertrand, you're a legend. Absolute internet legend. Even if you didn't do this, even if you were just like, yeah, I'm going to write some shit up and see if somebody will do it. These idiots.
he's probably a strength coach at an SEC school.
Let's see. Insanely stupid, demanding, doesn't believe pain exists. Let's see. Likes it doesn't believe in negative people or asking doctors about anything.
Will Muschamp is hiring.
Go Cocks.